Good morning and welcome to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, your host of this fast-paced segment that talks about your dreams of wealth and freedom, hoping that you'll achieve your dreams of wealth and freedom. And in some segments, we talk about technical topics of interest to you on the estate and tax and business planning fronts, but I often have guests appear on the show, and today I have a very special guest, Dr. Richard Orlando. Welcome, Richard. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
For the past quarter century, Dr. Orlando, who's the founder and CEO of Legacy Capitals, has worked globally with executives, entrepreneurs, athletes, entertainers, as well as families and work teams and organizations who want to strive to succeed or who've already reached significant levels of success. He's the author of a book that we're going to talk about later on in this segment and on an additional segment called Legacy, The Hidden Keys to Optimizing Your Family Wealth Decisions, which was just published in January of 2014. So, Richard, first of all, tell us a little bit about your background. I know you've got a very diverse background in technology, in wealth management, and then in psychology, of all things. How did you marry all those things together? And give us a little bit of your history.
Sure, thank you. The journey, it's been an awesome progression over the last 20, 25 years, but one that I can't say that I knew was going to tie together as wonderfully as it did. But the shorter version of it is my undergraduate degree, as you pointed out, was in computer science in the 80s. And so at that time, that field was just really taking off in terms of corporate America. And I went to work on Wall Street and was really a computer jock at the time. I ran what they called a LAN administrator network,
sure,
of a network, as well as interfaced with the trading floor because I was part of a group that priced mutual funds. Well, that infamous company was Drexel Burnham that went Chapter 11.
Absolutely.
And I had a decision to make what was next. The team that I was part of was going to be bought by another company, and mm-hmm. I could have continued, but I made a decision, an important decision, to take another direction. At that point, I made this crazy decision to go study theology and psychology. And so my parents thought I was nuts.
That's a radical change.
Yes,
I mean, that's a big shift in focus.
Yes, it was a major, it was more of a personal decision, but professionally I knew I wanted to start pursuing this idea of counseling or psychology.
What caused you to make that shift? I mean, that really is a radical shift from the high-tech business world, computers, Drexel Burnham, to I want to go into psychology.
Yeah. I jokingly say that it was because of the watching the whole process of a major global company go Chapter 11 and all that went on in it, but that's not really true. Mm-hmm. While I was inside of Drexel, I was thinking about going back for my master's at some point.
Okay.
But I wasn't ready to make that decision because I was happy with what I was doing. I was making decent money. So that pivot happened as a result of really the company literally of getting to February 1990, getting on the loudspeaker of the company and saying, we filed Chapter 11, go home. And so it kind of instigated the decision.
That's a shock.
That much faster.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about counseling. The theology part was more of the personal journey of my walk that I thought, if there's a way I could study that for me personally, I would love to do that. But professionally, I had thought about psychology in the past. So that's how it kind of came together. And once I started that journey, I went on my master's degree, I knew I was going to go for the PhD.
So you got your PhD in family systems.
Yeah.
Tell us about that program and what your focus of study was, your thesis, mm-hmm. and then how that really wraps into what you do today.
Yeah, so I definitely knew that once I made a decision for the PhD, was in the field of psychology, there's many camps, but the one that I was most, I believe, is philosophically the strongest one for the work that we're going to talk about is family systems. Basically, what that means is it's a discipline that says we understand the individual best when we understand them in the context of their family.
Hmm.
So it's a real systems approach as opposed to the more traditional models where you lay on a couch and it's all about you and then your intrapsychic challenges. So
mm-hmm.
I didn't go that camp, didn't think that was as... So while completing my PhD, I was a counselor on staff at the university. So I had a chance to practice counseling, professional counseling, and we started working with the athletes at the university. So we brought in a sports psychologist to kind of equip us, and then he took us and another person, I had a chance to intern with the New York Giants football team. So before my dissertation before I had a chance to finish my dissertation, I made a decision to now go back to Wall Street.
Right.
And so Merrill Lynch in 1997 had a position available in a group called the Teams Performance Strategies Group, and it focused on all the financial advisors inside of Merrill Lynch.
So you were helping the financial advisors in terms of their planning and counseling them individually, or as teams?
As teams. It's helping them. Basically, the primary mission was to build a team and help them reach peak performance as a team. So we did that globally for the advisors. But I still had my dissertation to write when I went back to Merrill, and I decided to tie it all together, back to your original question, and say, all right, I'm in financial services, I got this PhD wrapping up in family systems, so my dissertation was on wealth management teams where it was comprised of family members. So basically businesses, small family businesses, in some cases large family businesses.
So do you view yourself as an expert in family business succession planning?
Family businesses for sure, and succession planning being one of the categories.
Sure.
Yes, yeah. And sure. So that's where that, and so then while at Merrill Lynch, not only did I do that research, one of the executives said to me, with your research background in family businesses, and your PhD in family psychology, why aren't we using you directly to serve our clients?
Right.
And that's what happened. I started to serve their clients and ended up in their family office.
The family office
of Merrill Lynch.
At Merrill Lynch.
Yeah, that was the last position I had inside of Merrill Lynch.
And now you're on your own.
And 2 years ago, I decided to start my own company.
Now, I know you work with one wealth advisory group here in Reston. Do you work with others across the country as well?
Yeah, right. So I'm an independent. I have my own company, and I have some larger clients, like the one you're referring to in Reston, and then I have many other clients as well across the industry. Yeah.
Is the focus on family dynamics and helping the family sort of figure out what their value propositions are, their spiritual capital should be focused on, et cetera, and then getting the family aligned in one direction, goals and objectives, and then planning around that?
Yeah, I think that's not a bad way to put it. As I'm sure you've seen, each family has their own unique need and where they are. But ultimately, I wrap it in that I think what we're trying to do with families and individuals is help them live out their intended legacy in the context of wealth.
Okay.
So that's really the mission of what we're trying to do. And then how and all the parts, I think we're going to get to talk about.
But we're going to talk about shortly. Yeah. Do you apply these techniques to folks that are other than the uber wealthy? I mean, your practice and my practice tend to focus a lot on very high net worth families and individuals. But I also have a lot of clients who are not, super wealthy. They have wealth of different kinds, if you will. It's not just economic wealth or financial wealth. But can you apply these techniques that you've developed and the systems that you've developed as articulated so well in the book to families that aren't the uber wealthy?
Yeah, so I've been very encouraged as this book is now starting to become read by others. That's been some of the feedback that they would say, or maybe even blog about the book, saying that this book is for everyone irrespective of their wealth level because of the principles are more transcendent. I don't mean necessarily transcendent in the spiritual sense, but they're principles that would benefit any individual or family if they brought them into their lives. So I'm very encouraged by that. And on a more practical matter, the families, as you know, or individuals, I think just wealth, what it does is the more the wealth, the more it magnifies questions and dynamics, or makes them more complicated or more sophisticated, as I like to say.
Yep.
So, but usually I would say that individuals who are going paycheck to paycheck are more focused on Maslow's basic hierarchy of needs, which is basically, I got to pay my bills.
You're nodding your head like I'm supposed to know hierarchy of needs.
Well, basically the idea.
I didn't study psychology. I studied accounting. Come on.
Fair enough.
What is that?
Actually, the research in one of the chapters that I talk about on happiness says that once someone achieves $50,000 to $75,000 a year income, there's no correlation to happiness after that.
Really?
So the reason why I'm referencing that to your question is that I think what happens when so many people, and I understand it, going from paycheck to paycheck, you're not focused on these other kind of legacy questions. You're looking on your basic, can I take care of my kids? Can I pay the bills?
can I keep food on the table and shelter over my family? And those are Maslow's basic hierarchy, his first set of needs that he says that all humans are trying to achieve.
So have I met my needs as opposed to my wants?
Yeah. So I don't know who gets credit for this, but someone talked about dependent, independent, and transcendent wealth. I'm focused, I think the book's targeted towards those who have a little bit more of an independence about their wealth or transcendence, or you might be calling them the uber wealthy. Yeah.
The before we dig into the book, because I really do want to tap into that very shortly, my question to you is, are there any stories that you can tell us about some of the people that you've met that might be of interest to the listeners? In other words, some unique opportunities that you were faced with or challenges that you were faced with by some of the clients that you've met that would allow us to identify or at least get a little bit of a kick about some of the things that you get to do in your practice.
Yeah. So a few thoughts. I'll share a couple of little anecdotes.
Yeah.
Let me start actually with an NBA player.
Okay.
I'll use this story to represent the kind of the successful young, you could say entrepreneur, you can say professional athlete, but very successful, very young, successful financially, and actually in their career, this player was very, very successful. And now his career was wrapping up.
Okay.
And fortunately, to the credit of his advisor, his set of advisors, and his own choosing, he didn't chew up all of the money as too often happens with professional
athletes.
It
sure does. I've seen it happen too many times.
That's right. So you have firsthand knowledge of that. But what had to shift was he no longer had that big paycheck. And now we had to go back into his world and reassess, who am I helping? Because he had financed quite a few things among family and friends. And the reason why I was brought in was because of how does he go back to relationships, not a business entity, or relationships, and change what they were used to, getting income from him and or paying off debt or whatever it was.
Exactly.
And he was a very caring individual.
He wanted to take care of people.
Yeah.
And he did.
Yeah, and he did, literally, for many years. He had a long career. But that conversation was not easy for him to have. So they brought me in to help him help the family and his close friends go through that process. And fortunately, more to their credit, I hope I contributed to it, they handled that process well, because he literally pulled back.
He had to.
He would not be able to.
He wasn't getting $5-8 million a year or more.
That's right. And he was very young. Now he's your family. So that would be an example of just how do we make good decisions about who we're trying to help in our lives, given who we are.
We're talking to Dr. Richard Orlando, who's the author of Legacy, The Hidden Keys to Optimizing Your Family Wealth Decisions. And we're going to dig into the book in the next segment. I think we've reached a good stopping point for this segment. I'm Wayne Zell. You're listening to Blueprint for Wealth on Power of Attorney Radio.